Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Yeah, well, welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is the 8th of April, 2021. I am Steve in Leon C in Essex. And on today's show, My Spurs Journey, we have got the one and only Jim Howick. How are you doing, Jim?
I'm fine, thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
You might know Jim as the wonderful shouty man from Horrible Histories. Also, more recently, the guy with an arrow through his neck, the Arcala in Ghosts, and Yonderland and other things. Wonderful actor, brilliant guy. You've been on the show about 5 years ago, and fantastic having you back. How are you doing?
Thanks, Steve. Good to be back. Lots has happened since I've since I was on. I'm doing very well, thanks. I'm a bit tired. We wrapped on Ghosts Series 3. Last night at about 10 o'clock, so
world exclusive.
Yeah. I'll tell you when it's coming out. It'll probably be October time, but yeah, I'm having a nice day off today talking to you.
Talking Spurs. There we go. So it's brilliant having you on. Look, you know, we'll get into the My Spurs Journey questions in just a second, but let's kick off then. So with regards to Spurs at the moment, how do you see us? We've got we're up and down, obviously, but, you know, you might be in the Jose camp. You might be in the Poch camp. You might be Enoch in, Enoch out. I'm not sure. You're going to be a diplomatic, I'm sure. But, you know, let loose on your thoughts. We've got Man United at the weekend. Come on, what do you think? No swearing, though, because I'm a primary school teacher.
I wish I could let loose my feelings, Steve. But I honestly don't know what to think. I don't know where to start. And because if I think about what Jose is good for right now, it's a cup final and European qualification and attracting talent in the market. And that's it. And nothing really has changed. We've always been inconsistent. There were a couple of years with Poch where we absolutely should have won something. But we're still going for the same sort of targets we were last year and maybe 3 years ago. So the hardest pill for me to swallow is our defence at the moment. We were the envy of the league 3 years ago with our defence, from the left to the right. And right now, the only one left can't play two games in a row in Toby. So
strangely, can't play one game at the moment. I mean, I don't know what's happened there.
You know, it's a different sort of style. It's a different, you know, basically I don't think we have the personnel to deal with Jose's tactics, his primary tactics, should I say. Yeah. Because we're quite an unbalanced team. We've got world-class talent going forward, and at the back, we simply haven't. And I think that means that we are a very unbalanced team, and we probably are where we should be.
Yeah.
If Poch was to get sacked tomorrow.
Mourinho.
If Jose was to get sacked tomorrow, then I would be glad that we wouldn't have to suffer the same sort of football. But I can't honestly say I don't know. We've still got something to play for. We've still got a cup final.
I mean,
it's one game. It's City. You know, if anyone's going to be City, it's probably us.
It's probably Jose. I wouldn't want another manager in charge for that game.
But, you know, you look at like the likes of, a lot of fans have been calling out for the likes of Scott Parker or Eddie Howe, and I've been seeing that on Twitter. And the thing is that I just don't think that's going to happen. I just can't see Levy going for a manager that isn't box office somewhere, someone who hasn't achieved something in Europe, and someone who's not going to attract the sort of talent in a difficult market that we need to attract.
Yeah. Between takes, or when you get on set, before you start shooting. Do you and Matthew Bainton go through this same rigmarole of talking about Spurs?
All the time. And but it's not just with Matthew. I mean, oh my God. So on Ghosts, all of our unit drivers were Gooners. One of them was Chelsea. So some of the journeys in this year have been absolutely an absolute nightmare. Me and Matthew, Matt's pretty anti-Jose, it's fair to say.
Okay.
And has been from the beginning. I think he's prepared to see the positives. You know, there's been a lot of positives this year. You know, earlier on this year, we were so hard to beat. That's the strange thing about this season. We were so hard to beat. The football wasn't great, but if you win, it's an easy pill to swallow.
Yeah.
If you lose, it's a horrendous pill to swallow. So yeah. I think Matt would probably rather someone else was in charge. I wouldn't mind if someone else was in charge. I'm prepared to give Jose to the end of the season and see what happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, we talk about it all the time, and it's absolutely, it's just a Mobius loop of hope and despair and U-turns, and it's just, you know, it's Tottenham. It's Tottenham all over.
Oh, dear. So you're about to, I'm going to put a little role play in here that goes on in my mind. So you're just about to shoot a scene. You're there. You're putting your arrow through your neck, right?
Yeah.
Matthew's just doing the, I don't know, Matthew McConaughey. Oh, right. Getting his voice nice and low because, of course, he plays a sort of a Casanova character. And so so in this scene, if I do this and you do this, and then just one of you throws in, and I tell you what, that third goal we let in last night, when that,
absolutely,
that must happen, surely.
Oh, it totally happens because you know, it literally is that the board goes on. Okay, a camera take so and so. We're rolling slunk, and then someone will say, but you know, Lloris has probably got to go, isn't he? Okay, and actually, and that's it. And it's a question it's usually not a statement. We're putting questions to each other, and it's hard to concentrate on your lines because you're still thinking about if we get a good offer for Lloris, it's time to go.
Who would replace him?
Well, who would replace him? That's totally it. We're talking about that around the kitchen table with all the other ghosts around us. You know, is it Henderson? Is it Pope? Is it Areola, or you know, the young Fulham keeper? There's lots of Tottenham talk around the table. Everyone else gets totally sick to death. Lolly's a Spurs fan as well, I should say.
Yeah,
Lolly Adifope, who plays Kitty, is also a Tottenham fan.
Is that the very excited?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, the Georgian, needy, clingy. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. It's great stuff. We've got, while we got you here, Jim, we will dip in and out of these fantastic characters because, you know, as I say, Horrible Histories is one of my favourite programmes. It is, absolutely, and I'm not blowing smoke. You know, I'm a teacher. I've played it. I do have to have a disclaimer to my class. I have to say, is there anybody that doesn't want to watch Horrible Histories? Because I did get a rather nasty phone call once
from a
mum saying it was like a year two class, so quite young. They came home. Rather than sort of have to explain it all, you go, right, okay. So I say to the class, can I put Horrible Histories on? And, you know, basically every year everyone's like, fine. But if you get that one kid putting their hand up going, actually, I'm scared of Horrible Histories, I'm like, oh, okay, fine.
Yeah. It's Simon Farnaby, isn't it?
But you pick out Farnaby clips. The clip I always show every year, because we do Egyptians, is the brilliant Cleopatra song, which is great. But as I've said to you, Jim, about every, I've got to say, once a month, I put on, not at school, but at home, I'm sitting around doing nothing, and I put the bloopers on, because the bloopers are, the outtakes just absolutely make me die. The Ricky Gervais bloopers are great, and the Horrible Histories bloopers are great. And the one that I've got to say right now, as it pops into my mind, is the Joker scene, where you and Matthew Bainton, and you press his nose like it's a doorbell.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't know how you finish that scene.
He presses mine. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Every single time, it just cracks me up. How many times I watch that? And I just, it's just brilliant. So funny. How did you stop yourself from actually? How did you get through it in the end?
We got told off, Steve. We got told to sit. Honestly, there were times when Matt, particularly Matt and I, we were told to separate, stand to literally like children, stand in the corner of the studio and get your shit together, basically. I've had to walk around. I remember we were filming in the chapel. That was all filmed at this place called Dorney Court, that scene that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Which is a place near Eton, near the lakes there, the Olympic Lake. And they've got their own chapel, which is used for loads of filming and all sorts of stuff. And I was sort of ordered to walk around the chapel and just take a breather, because once you get into that zone of corpsing, they call it, sort of laughing,
yes, yeah,
and breaking character, it's almost impossible to get out of it. It's impossible. It's infectious. It's delicious. It's when you're in assembly when you're a kid, you know,
but I don't know whoever wrote that scene, that specific little bit where Matthew Bainton has to go like blah, 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 and whack, whack, and make all these funny noises and then press your nose like as a doorbell. Whoever wrote that scene, might have been one of you two, wasn't thinking, well, they'll get through this, they'll film this, no problem.
I don't think that bit was in it. I genuinely don't think that bit was in the script. I think it just said, enter Will, is it Will Pool, or I can't remember the name of the character, but it was Henry VIII's jester. And he jumps in and he says, like, you called, and that was all that was in the script. What really? Matt did, which was do a little kind of like a little physical skit, was all completely improvised. And it's, you know, so to funny. A point, we sort of knew what he was going to do, but we did. We were surprised as well. Yeah. We were surprised by it. It wasn't, and it was the length. It was the linger was the on the nose. That's what. For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, it's on YouTube.
YouTube Horrible Histories bloopers or outtakes or whatever. It's on there, and it's the funniest thing you'll see. And after that, go and watch the Afterlife bloopers. But you know, only adults only for those ones, because they're blew it funny as well. But Jim, listen, what's the first match you ever remember seeing?
First match I ever went to was at Fratton Park. Because I'm from Bognor Regis originally. My family are all from the South Coast. Well, my mum was from London, and she met my dad in Chichester. So all of my family pretty much are in the South Coast. Right. So yeah, I used to go to Fratton Park a lot. And I went to see Spurs in the Milk Cup in 1985. It was a draw, and Hoddle was playing and Ozzie Ardiles. And yeah, it's a great, great team, but not a very good match.
85, you would have been presumably what?
Six.
Six years old. Okay. And who took you?
My dad and my uncle, who were both Spurs fans.
Ah,
so my dad's from sort of Chichester area, but
yeah,
he used to holiday in Bounds Green, which not many people say. but his cousin lived in Bounds Green, and he used to go and visit him, and they used to go and watch Spurs sort of 60-61 team, the double team.
Yeah.
And that's how I became a Spurs fan, really, from him.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Did we win?
No, it was a draw. I think it was a draw, and then there was a replay or something. It was in the days where you had replays quite early in the tournament, so yeah. I can't really remember, but it was pretty dire match.
Yeah,
but I wasn't really watching the match. I was just in awe. I just couldn't believe where I was sat and what I was looking at, and the pitch was the greenest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah,
and I wasn't really following the game. I just was looking at the sounds and the songs and everything. Mm. Fratton Park's quite a sort of spicy place to go to.
Absolutely. First, I think Portsmouth sing some particularly charming songs about Southampton fans.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, yeah.
Which you'd have.
I kept going to Fratton Park. I went to see the game, the famous FA Cup game where Gazza basically just took the game by the scruff of the neck, scored a couple of goals.
Where were you for that?
That was at Fratton Park. I was in the stands, Not in the sort of hardcore area. I think actually there was a bit of trouble. Like Gazza scored a goal, and then there was a bit of trouble that spilled into the corner of the pitch.
Oh, this is what we like. We like the bit of insight. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, and that's the first sort of time I was quite far away from it, but that was the first time I'd ever seen any kind of sort of football violence. And it's to be honest, it's the only time I've sort of ever seen anything like that, really.
Mm. It is rare. I mean, from
stadiums. Yeah, it really is.
I think so. Get the fighting cock boys on and they'll tell you different, but there you go. Great. Okay. What about a football match that's made you cry?
Well, I cried. I was in tears at the Champions League final. I don't mind saying.
Did you go?
At the beginning and the end. I didn't go, no, because I just wanted to watch it with I went to the stadium. So I've got a couple of seats in the stadium.
Yeah.
And the guy who sits kind of to the left of the seats is never really there. I think he always sells his tickets. And the guy to the right of me went to Madrid. So
is the guy to the left Matthew Bainton?
No, Matt sits in the East Stand. He sits with his family in the East Stand. Matt with his brother. But I wanted to watch it with my dad and my friends. Yeah. And I felt like that was more important to me. So I went to the stadium and watched it on the screen, and it was
great
amazing.
Day.
It was a sellout. It was amazing. The high street's never been so packed. And when we walked out, when the team walked out and stood there for the Champions League anthem, I shed a tear.
Mm.
And I was a bit sloshed.
And then 17 seconds later, you shed another tear because we let the we gave a penalty away.
That game. I've kind of forgotten that game. It's a bit of a blur, really.
Yeah. But the day, I mean, I was in Madrid. Colin, who does the pod with me normally, he went with Davey Elder, the Spurs poet, and brilliant photos, and showed me. It was a boiling hot day, obviously. I was in Madrid, luckily enough, with my dad. And we had a great weekend. But tears, without a doubt. What about a funny moment you can think of to do with a football or a football match, something that football related that's made you laugh?
I tried to impress a girlfriend once. I took her to this is before I had a season ticket, so I used to sit in the old ground. I used to sit all over the place wherever I could get a ticket.
Yeah.
And this is off the top of my head, Steve, but I tried to impress a girlfriend once. I took her to a Fulham game. It was a replay FA Cup. The first game had been cancelled because it was snowing. And then we played again.
Yeah.
And I tried to start a song in the Park Lane end, and had this brown hat on. I had this brown sort of beanie on, and someone turned around and went, "Look at Brown Hat giving it large." And then I just put me in my place and I sat down, and that was that.
But girlfriend's your wife.
No, she's not. There's been quite a few occasions. A lot of time. Something that's happened to my dad, actually. It happens to him a lot. He has to chew chewing gum when he watches the match.
Okay.
Like Alex Ferguson or.
And
so many times.
Is he in the front room, like chucking it to the side, like Sam Allardyce does? And then your mum comes in.
Oh,
and
he doesn't watch at home.
Damn.
He doesn't watch at home anymore. He can't watch it.
Oh.
He goes and mows the lawn or listens to it or something. He just can't. His nerves can't take it. He only watches a full game if he's with me. But loads of times he's screamed and chewing gum has just plopped out of his mouth into the seat in front. And the person in front. Luckily, this is before we had a season ticket.
Yeah.
We didn't know these people, but they've got chewing gum on their jeans. I don't think I've ever had a streaking experience, not myself, but I don't think I've ever seen a streaking experience. I don't think there's been, I can't think of anything funny.
This is great though, Jim, because you're in comedy. you pick up on all these funny things that have happened, so I love it. But I can I tell you one thing, and I'm gonna relate this to you in just a second. But a couple of years ago, we were at Wembley, and a few seats along was Michael McIntyre, who you know is a massive Spurs fan, and he was sitting next to Frank Skinner, and a couple of little kids. And so, after that, I've learned that Frank Skinner's kids. Or one of them is a massive Harry Kane fan, so he invited him to this game. Anyway, but what I do remember, and you know, in my way, I'm sort of watching the game, but also at the corner of my eye watching Michael McIntyre and Frank Skinner talking. And the two of them, for the whole 90 minutes, laughed, and like Frank would say something, and Michael McIntyre's like double back laughing. Then Michael McIntyre looked at Frank and said, and it was like every time I glanced over, the two of them were both double back laughing, and I thought. Yeah. Oh, what? Oh, can I go and sit over there? Because the two of them are having such a laugh. So again, like for you, when you sit with Matthew and watch a game, I don't know how often you do that, but do two of you have a laugh, or is it because we're watching Spurs? You're like, this is not funny.
it's too intense. I haven't watched a game with Matt for a while because not since Wembley actually, because we sit in different places. We sit in different parts of the stadium, but
it was easier to sit together, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and it was. Yeah, we could get seats together, but yeah, we WhatsApp each other all the time, and we're usually moaning. I guess because we sort of work with each other in comedy the whole time.
Yeah,
football is sort of gives us an opportunity to. Be quite sort of serious, and also because we're being essentially sort of told to shut up by everyone else who's not as into football as we are on set, this gives us an opportunity to indulge in our love, which is Spurs, and not bore anyone else around us. One thing that comes to mind is one of Matt's stories, but I'm sure he won't mind me telling it, but he someone stopped him outside the ground and went, "Ghosts, right?" And he went, "Yes." Like, this guy was quite aggressive. And he went, I can't swear, can I? Will you please swear?
No.
Oh, I can't swear. Okay. Well, he very much liked it, but said that in a very aggressive way. So there was that. Yeah.
Ghosts, right?
Yeah, ghosts, right? It's the effing nuts.
You're right. You can say that. That's
okay.
Right.
All right. Okay. It's the effing nuts, he said.
Yeah.
Or it's effing the nuts.
Yeah.
It was something around. People like, oh, great. Cheers, mate.
Yeah,
glad
lovely.
Like it.
Thank you.
Because
I thought you, because I did meet Matthew very briefly outside the Bell and Hare. He walked past, and it was back in the day. So I said to him, "Oh my God, horrible histories." So he went, "Yes." And I said, "I'm a teacher," just to like enforce the fact that how much I love it.
Yeah.
You know, put it on all the time. And we had a 30-second chat, and then he went on.
Yeah.
And of course, he's from my neck of the woods, Leon C. And funnily enough, I've taught his old neighbor's daughter. Mum's name's Chloe, and you know, she's quite a nice lady, and I reckon Matthew might have had a little crush on her. So next time you see Matthew, just mention an old neighbour. I tweeted him and I said, "I teach your old neighbour's daughter. Your neighbour was called Chloe," and he just tweeted back, "Correct." I don't know if she broke his heart. I'm not sure. I'm not going to go there with him.
I'll ask.
But it's a nice little connection. Do you know the other person who's famous in Leon C? Famous actor from Leon C?
No.
Actress Helen, or actor, of course, Helen Mirren.
Oh, right. Okay.
So now we've got two. How about that?
There you go. I thought Matthew was Southend. Is he not Southend? Oh, I suppose he's Leon C. Are they close to each other?
Yeah, they're very close. They're very close.
Right, okay, there you go.
What's the worst football match you ever saw? Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I mean, oh. I probably the. I mean, the one that sticks out was the 5-2 Man City FA Cup match. That was pretty bad.
Do you mean the 4-3 Man City?
Is it 4-3? Was it Joey Barton got sent off at half time?
Yeah, yeah.
We were three nil up.
3-0 up. Sent up down to 10 men.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was pretty dire. And there's been so many, Steve. the Champions League final was pretty awful.
Yeah.
The last Arsenal game. the last
Europa game.
Fucking yeah, I mean there's been some terrible, that's what this season's been, so up and down.
But let's move on, because
the worst game I ever saw,
you're getting a bit distressed.
Definitively probably that City game. I took a friend to that who I was trying to get into. He was sort of like, well, he was an honorary Spurs fan but on the fence, and I said, I'll take you to the ground, it's great, it's a cup night, it's great, it'll be rocking. And we were 3-0 up, and I turned to him and went, see, are you Tottenham now? And then we lost 4-3.
Yeah. And he said, no, Man City. And now he's the happiest man in the world.
I like rugby.
What about, have you ever been at a football match and it scared you?
I mean, that Portsmouth FA Cup game, when I saw the violence kind of firsthand with my own eyes, that was quite frightening. I was about 11, I think, at the time. It would have been our 91 campaign, so I was 11 12. That was quite frightening, but I've never been scared at Spurs. I've never been scared at Spurs. I mean, there was a time, when West Ham beat us at the new stadium. Ooh. When I leave the ground, I walk up towards sort of Edmonton Way. And there was a bit of trouble sort of like down Northumberland Park. They ran down. And I thought, okay, I might get hit. But yeah, that's the sort of closest. Yeah.
You handle yourself, Jim? A bit tasty?
Just tell him a joke. Before you hit me, little dance.
That's how you get out of it. That's right.
I've been in two fights in my life, Steve. Two fights in my life. One was with Simon Leach, who stole my apple in primary school, punched him in the throat, straight in the esophagus. And the other one was outside the Regis Centre, defending a friend. And my mum split the fight up and told me I wasn't going to Magaluf with my friends.
This is like Jim Howitt life stories. Piers Morgan.
Yeah, I know.
You're
so
privileged. You're telling me these stories. Great stuff. What about a football player you used to love but you don't anymore?
Sol Campbell.
Good, done. What about a player that you have to defend? Everybody thinks he's rubbish, but you're like, no, he's good. So Matthew Bainton bangs on about, oh, I'm terrible. And you're like, Matt, he's good. Can you think of anyone?
Yeah, well, Eric Dyer, recent years, I think, is probably the one. I mean,
you defend Eric Dyer. I do too.
I sent a message to Matt after the European game, I think it was. That was the last game he started, I think. Was the European game, I think. Yeah. I remember. Yeah, I think it was. And I said, look, you know, he's making it very hard to defend. This performance is very hard to defend. And I could say that about a few. You know, he started the season very well, I thought. Was strong. He was unlucky, obviously, against Newcastle.
He had a great defensive record with him and Toby at the back.
Yeah. I just think that the last ditch defending, you know, playing that deep doesn't really suit him, I don't think.
I don't think so. I think he needs to return to back to the centre.
Yeah, I mean, there was something about him. He played in midfield. Yeah. He was quite a calming presence. And he was a physical presence as well. But I always enjoyed watching him sort of attack the space with the ball. Mm. And playing sort of last ditch in the 6-yard box, I don't think it's for him. No. But he's a player that I've defended for a long time.
Let's pick it up a little bit. What's your favourite match of all time?
See, these questions are so hard.
Jim, you're brilliant, and you were fantastic earlier when you said this is off the top of my head. That's the point of these questions.
Right. Okay.
Did you ever listen to Brett Goldstein's podcast, Movies to Be Buried With?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Brett, have you met Brett?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Spurs fan.
Yeah.
Hence the surname. but he was someone I met on holiday about 25 years ago. We have a mutual friend who, it's a true story, mutual friend who went on to start and is the CEO and chairman of Headspace. And he was literally like one of us, just a normal guy, grew up in Seven Oaks. One day he said to me and my dad, who is played golf with, I'm thinking of going off and starting this meditation thing called Headspace. And we were like, yeah, right. And look at where he is now, if people know what Headspace is. Anyway, the mutual friend, Brett Goldstein, hadn't seen him for years, went to see his show recently with Alan. Oh, what's his first name? Bald head from Bromley. Oh, funny on everything. Smart guy.
Alan.
Something Alan.
Oh, something Alan. Alan.
On Bake Off. Oh.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
What's his first name?
Oh, always wears a suit, right?
Yeah. Anyway, that guy. I don't know where I'm going. Out. Yeah. So I went to see a live performance of those two. And on the way to watch it, I bumped into Brett. And
Tom
I said,
Allen.
Brett. Huh?
Tom Allen.
So yeah. I said, Brett, on the way to watch him, I said, I'm coming to watch you tonight. And he went, oh, fantastic. I said, oh, I absolutely love your podcast. It's so funny. And anyway, after that night, I thought to myself, well, do you know what? The questions can be adapted to Spurs questions. And so I just took out the word film and put in Spurs or Matt or player.
Yeah.
And Jim, this is a true story. So I messaged Brett and I said, listen, I'm going to just nick a few ideas from you. Is that all right? And he messaged me, said, no, you can't really do that. Da, da, da. And he did it in a funny way. And it was funny in the end of the day. I said, it's all right. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
And, we still sort of message on Twitter and stuff. And I tell you, what a funny bloke he is.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah. He's a nice guy. I mean, and he's a good actor as well. He's a very good actor.
Yeah. Fantastic.
But yeah, to answer your question.
What was the question? I can't remember the question. What was the question? Best match I've ever been to.
No, it was my favourite game, I think, wasn't it? Or best match I've ever been to.
No.
Favourite game.
You're right. Favourite game.
FA Cup 91. Has to be.
Yeah. Has to be. Did you go to the semi?
I didn't go to any of them. I was a kid in Bognor. I wasn't sort of going to the games regularly then.
So you watched the game at home with dad.
Watched the game at home with my whole family.
91. You were.
I was just 12. My birthday's May the 14th, so it was always FA Cup weekend.
Yeah.
It was a really cheap birthday party for my mum and dad. No matter what it was, if it was Palace, Liverpool, or whatever, Palace United, Sunderland, Arsenal, come over, it's fine. That was that. So yeah, no, it was. I remember it really well. I was on the. I was so excited afterwards. I stood on our garden wall and waved the flag around, and cars were beeping. It was great.
Wow. What did you say? You were 16.
No, I was 12.
In 91.
11.
Yeah. Wow, fantastic. Okay, quick fire questions.
Okay.
Favorite ever player.
Paul Gascoigne.
Favorite manager.
Poch.
Legendary player. Now it doesn't have to be Spurs. Mine's Maradona.
Okay.
It can be anybody.
Oh, okay. I've always liked.
And, And by the way, I love the fact that you're playing along with the fact that it's quick fire, because normally I say quick fire and people who respond to these take absolutely ages to respond. Yeah. But thank you for playing along.
That's right. I will. So what was it again? I've missed it now. It's not quick fire anymore.
It's your legendary player.
Legendary player. Probably Zidane. Love watching Zidane. Amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. Favorite of a goalkeeper?
Erik Thorstvedt, without a doubt.
Yeah. Favorite defender? Lee Young Pyo.
Ledley. Does it have to be Spurs, or can it just be anyone?
Go on, you've got someone else in mind. Tell me.
No, it was either Ledley or Jan. But I mean, it was. Ledley.
Okay. If it was somebody else, by the way, I'd say Paolo Maldini.
Yeah, Maldini.
Baresi as well in that AC Milan side.
Yeah. Roberto Carlos was a defender. You forget.
Yeah. Gary Doherty was a defender. You forget, you see. You forget these things.
He was a striker, mate. He was just a striker with a defender's number.
Favourite ever midfielder?
Spurs? For Spurs?
Go on, yeah.
I'll probably say... Oh, man.
So many names.
Just so many names. I mean...
Presume it's not Jason Dazelle.
It's not Jason Dazelle. it's not like Rowan Ricketts or... I mean, Stefan Dalmat was a player. Do you remember him? He got him on loan. I mean,
he famously...
he was a bright spark.
Famously, I was on holiday with Pat Jennings. Not with Pat Jennings, but he played golf with my dad and blah, blah.
Right. Oh, wow.
Listeners to this show know that I love a name drop. And dad plays golf all the time, and we were in La Manga. Have you ever been to La Manga in Spain?
Oh, I haven't. No. Oh, that's southern Spain, isn't it? I think I may have done, actually. Yeah.
It's the golf resort.
Yeah.
Anyway, Pat, we were having a bit of dinner, and you know, I'm like sitting there, jaw ajar. And he just mentioned Stefan Dalmat. It was, you know, obviously then, and he said the rudest, most obnoxious person I've ever come across in football.
Really?
Incredibly, yeah, because he's a goalkeeping coach at the time, and that was obviously why he sort of didn't. Brilliant player, but
Well, he was on loan loads, wasn't he? He was like another sort of Tarat, you know. They were he was on loan the whole time, couldn't settle.
But
what a player! I mean, but you know, in that team, he was a bright spark, absolutely. Yeah. but he's not my favourite, because my favourite midfielder
is drum roll,
Stefan Freund. Gareth Bale. Okay. Can you count as a midfielder? Probably.
Yeah, you can have Bale.
Modric. Bale. I say Bale.
Bale
did it.
You haven't mentioned Dembele.
There's so many. We've always had good midfielders.
Yeah.
And the last 10 years, we've been spoilt, really.
Yeah. All right. Well, what are we going with your answer there?
He was a good midfielder. Someone from the bad times. I called him a bad time. He was a bright spark as well. He was an exciting player to watch.
Someone for the bad times 2 weeks ago.
The bad times.
What about your favourite ever striker?
Harry Kane's probably my favourite ever striker, I think. He has to be.
Okay.
But if we're talking sort of as a boy, I'd say Teddy.
Yeah.
Love watching Teddy Sheringham.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Yeah, love him. Absolutely.
Harry Kane, if you're looking at a kind of Spurs 11, I think Harry Kane has made it into everyone's Spurs 11, hasn't he? Of course he has.
Oh, of course he has. It's clear. Apart from if it's Klinsmann, of course.
Oh, yeah, you see, Klinsmann was the first kind of marquee signing I remember. Remember where I was on scout camp, and it was a summer camp, and my dad came to pick us up, and he was like, we've bought Klinsmann, and then I think the week before we bought Dimitrescu or something, and he was at the European finals that summer.
Wow.
And I'm so chuffed.
And you said, Dad, that's all very interesting, but I've just shot our Kayla through the neck with an arrow.
And that was
please don't tell anyone it was me. I've got an idea for a show in 20 years' time. Sorry. Just using my primary school education wit there. Sorry about that. Right. Actually, there is one other question. What's your favourite country? Random question. What's your favourite country?
Greece.
Yeah. Food. Because of food. Because of
food. Surroundings. Everything.
The ladies.
Well, you know, I mean, to a certain extent. But no, everyone's really nice, and I live in Palmer's Green, so it's kind of home from home, really, for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, that's my favourite country, probably Greece. Yeah.
Fantastic. Right, let's finish up then with predictions for the future. we've got a small game with United coming up. I'm desperate to win that. And then obviously City. So let's do those two games, and then let's finish up with where we're going to be. So what do you reckon? United at the weekend. Obviously they play Granada tonight and next week. So we're desperately hoping that they play a B team against us. But what do we know? We'll probably play a B team, you know. But what do you reckon?
Well, it's tough. I mean, look, how can you predict what Spurs are going to do at the moment? It's impossible, really. I think that, you know, hopefully we're at home. That's what, you know, we've got that going for us. We've got players back fit. I don't think Sonny, you know, there were spells where he was running up and down the pitch, giving his everything. I think he'll be sort of more settled in now. He's probably over the hump with his injury, his recuperation. I'm hoping that we can give them a game. I'm hoping that we've learned some lessons. I don't know what to say, Steve, honestly. I mean, what do you think? I mean, what sort
it's
of
never
momentum?
Been any different, has it?
Well,
really?
Well, no, but it has. There was a time when I could believe, I wouldn't doubt us. There was a time where I'd go into a game as confident as, you know, as if we were going to play United, as if we were playing an FA Cup draw against, you know,
Portsmouth in the semi-final.
In the semi-final. I don't know what to think. I mean, United, hey, look. Oh, I mean, who
come
knows?
On.
I'm sorry,
come
mate.
Come on. Now you're, what's the saying? Now you're something to the mask. Sow to the mask. Is that the saying?
We're going to beat them. We're going to beat them 3-1.
3-1.
There you go. 3-1.
Goal scorers?
Kane and...
oh, two others.
I mean, Kane and Son? Kane and Ndombele, there you go.
He's well, I hope it. So, because Ndombele, quite frankly, has been pretty pants the last few games. But let's see. And then what's going to happen with the City game? It's going to be a Mourinho masterclass.
I can see. Is there going to be VAR? There is VAR, isn't there? Well, I can see a VAR upset for someone. Yeah. There just has to be. It's written in the stars.
Yeah.
I just hope it's them. I don't know. I mean, the way that Kevin De Bruyne is playing at the moment, I just, that's going to take a lot to beat them.
Again, we're praying that they've got some really important games around that game, and they play a B team. And again, you know,
that trophy.
What's crazy is you know, the general vibe is, okay, thanks, Jose. Didn't work out. Not the right circumstances for you, so we'll get someone in who can motivate the lads. But can you stick around for the City game? Because you might be good for that one.
Yeah, you know? Totally. I mean, that's it. I mean, I do feel like last year he was hobbled in the respect that we had horrendous injuries last year before the break. And I think a lot of sensible fans were prepared to give him the benefit of the doubt. you can't take his achievements away from him. He's lost his sheen, of course, but he still has that CV, you know, and I just don't think he has the personnel to apply his tactics.
Yeah, he hasn't got those brilliant players. So listen, mate, have you got anything coming up? So you've done Ghosts, all the other bits and pieces, fantastic. Would there ever be a Horrible Histories reunion type thing where you boys all get back together? I know they done a couple of latter seasons with series with other actors who were fantastic, but not quite the same for me. But anything going on there?
No, the thing is that the show is still going strong. It's still winning children's BAFTAs, and it's still being nominated for lots of sort of top awards. So the format and the performers are obviously the performers are all seasoned comedy performers. So it's the show's still going strong. So as long as it's going strong, I don't think there'll be any real. It wouldn't be right to have a reunion when the show is still going on with other actors. You know, maybe if it stops and then 5 years pass and they bring us all back as kind of wizened veterans, who knows? Nothing's off the table.
No, absolutely. But
as it stands at the moment, as it's going on and it's doing very well, even though it's not the original five, it's hard to say exactly if there will be a reunion or not. But we're happy, we're happy working with each other and
did you five just say like we'd do something else? Or I mean we were told
that it was finishing. Basically Horrible Histories was a co-production between Citrus Television and Lion Television, and really Citrus were the ones that was included Caroline Norris and Dominic Brigstock, and they were the sort of on-hand production company that was the producer, the director and so forth. So they said, look, we're going to pack it in after 5 years, and we and that would be it. They took us to
we've
lunch
told all the history.
Yeah, that's
there's
it.
No more history
but,
to tell.
I mean, I think, you know, I think we all agreed that we were sort of scraping the barrel a little bit. We were sort of regurgitating formats and sketches and facts. We were regurgitating facts and sort of dressing them in a different way.
Yeah. So
I think we kind of felt that, you know, 5 years is probably enough. And let's go and do something else. And that's what happened. And then it came back. But by that stage we were already sort of doing Yonderland and doing other things, and we were happy that it was that we were just, you know, everyone was happy, you know.
Yeah, no, great stuff.
It's 5 years, and it was 12 episodes, where most comedy series are 6 episodes per series. So when you think about it, we did sort of 10 normal comedy series, which is as much as, you know, well, Peep Show or a lot of the sort of long running comedy. So there's a lot of material.
I never
there.
Watched Peep Show.
Oh, right. Oh, you should. It's great.
I know. You're in it, right?
I'm in it. Yeah. But not just because of that. No, it's a really good show. It's a great show. You'd love it.
We've only just started watching Would I Lie to You?
Right. Yeah. No, that's really fun.
Yeah, I've only just started watching it. Strangely, I love comedy, but I never watched it first time round. My boy's 11 now, and he watched it the other day, and he said, "Dad, this is really funny." And we've gone back and recorded everything off Boxer, so we're ploughing through them. So funny, with David Mitchell, of course, who's you would know.
Yeah, absolutely. No, but it's a great show. It's my favourite panel show, I think. Yeah.
Definitely. Oh, it's so funny, Lee Mack and the guys and everyone. So absolutely brilliant. But you know, I love your world, the acting world, of course, being the primary school teacher. Yeah. I am, an actor that...
Performer, you know, of course.
Performer that, I have to leave it there. I'm not going to do the someone that can't act thing, but I am, of course. But no, it's been wonderful chatting.
Thank you, Steve.
And listen, anytime you want to chat about Spurs or whatever, let me know. But absolutely
Let's
brilliant.
See what
Jim.
Happens, you know. Yeah. I hope that we can win a trophy this year, desperately. You know, that's what I want. I want us to win a bit of silverware.
We'll finish with a little rock song because I always do it on my show. Have you got a favorite? Now, you've got two categories. You can either have hard rock or heavy metal, but you've got to choose a favorite song from those two.
Can it be like grunge?
Grunge killed 80s metal, which is my heart. 80s metal.
That's your heart.
Grunge kind of killed metal. It. You can have kind of rocky, grungy stuff if you want.
Okay, all right. Because, I mean, I was a big Nirvana fan. But
you were a big what?
I was a big Nirvana fan when I was a kid. I was into Nirvana quite a bit.
Me too, but it didn't kill Poison and Motley Crue, who I love.
Right, okay.
Do you want Nirvana? You can have Nirvana.
I mean, look, if you can make room for Smells Like Teen Spirit, I'll have that for sure.
Okay. I can make room for that.
Definitely. But, I mean, if you want a bit of sort of late 80s, oh gosh, I mean, how about The Heat of the Night by... God, hang on. I'm trying to think.
Heat of the Night?
What is it called? I used to live with a Finnish guy, right? And they are bang into their 80s metal, like massively into their 80s metal. And he used to love it. Whitesnake, Heat of the Night.
Well, Whitesnake... okay.
Not into Whitesnake?
Is that Here We Go Again.
Here We Go Again. What other ones are there? Extreme? Did you watch Extreme?
A little bit. I mean, we're going a little bit soft now. A little bit softer rock with that. You know, Bon Jovi? I was hoping you would say a Slipknot song.
A Slipknot? Okay.
Metallica.
Okay, yeah, Enter Sandman, of course.
All right.
Davey
Elder, the Spurs poet, loves a bit of heavy metal. He'd love all this.
Okay.
He loves this chat. Right, anyway, Jim, brilliant.
Cheers, Stephen.
Thank you so much.
No really worries, man.
All right. Take care.
Take care, man.
Come on, your Spurs. Cheers.
Come on, Spurs. See you next.